Going beyond the headlines to the deeper issues. 96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight Segment, where your questions and comments matter at 202-319-7810. Join the conversation.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight Segment. I'm Harold Fisher. We hear a lot of talk about the importance of mentoring in our community. Mentors often step in for absentee parents or to help supplement the guidance that parents are already providing. In 2019, what does mentoring actually look like, especially in underserved communities? Well, tonight we're going to take a look at a program that tries to address the needs of those communities. This is National Mentoring Month, by the way. My guests are Diane Wallace Booker, founding executive director of the U.S. Dream Academy, Timothy Johnson, Chief Strategy and Impact Officer for the United Way of the National Capital Area and Crystal Lightning Mentor and Mentor of the Year awardee for the United Way of the National Capital Area.
Hey.
Hey, there we go. Big ups for Crystal. Lines are open. I want to talk about mentoring. If you would like to be a mentor, or perhaps you need a mentor, give us a call. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Thank you all for coming in. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
And Crystal, congratulations. That's a big deal.
It is. Thank you very much.
Yeah, we're going to get into that also in just a bit. But let's first start with Diane and the U.S. Dream Academy and the mentoring program that that is there. Talk to me about that.
Sure. So the U.S. Dream Academy is an after-school and mentoring program nationally. And we focus in on children who are living in very high-risk communities. And so we define that as communities that have higher-than-average crime rates, where there is generally a failing public school within that community, and where there are high arrest rates. And so we're really trying to intervene in the lives of young people who are more than likely experiencing some family instability, who don't always have access to high-quality education, and may have also experienced some trauma.
Mm-hmm. How does that help, Timothy, when you're talking about at-risk or underserved communities?
Well, it's really important. You know, part of United Way's work is to fight for the health, education, and financial stability of every person in the community. And specifically, when we're talking about our students, our young people, part of helping them really grow and develop to achieve their potential and really grow to be all they can be is making sure that they have access to really quality and quantity numbers of mentors, really healthy relationships who can serve as guides and advisors and mentors to help order their steps in ways that they may not necessarily see in their normal day-to-day activities.
Crystal, you have mentored a young lady for more than 3 years. Tell me about that experience.
Wow, well, that experience has been wonderful. I was assigned this young lady when she was 8 years old, and now she is going into the sixth grade and is about to be 12 this coming March.
12 going on 20,
12
right?
12 going on 20. But it's been very special to be a mentor to her because I get to see her grow in ways from a child to a preteen, and then hopefully we'll continue this relationship as she grows into a young woman. So I've really enjoyed just having her around.
Why did you decide to do this?
Well, I think for me, I am a recipient of mentorship. I can remember back when I was a young child that there were many caring adults in my life who gave me confidence and encouraged me to do and try different things. And so for me, I'd like to pay it forward. And the opportunity to pay it forward to me is to guide or be there or be available to another young child or young person, young teen, even a young adult who is looking for some extra support in their life.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are talking about mentoring. What does it look like? How might it help not only change the lives of individuals, but change communities? If you have a question or a comment, give us a call again at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Diane, when you're looking for mentors, how does that work?
Yeah, so we are always looking for mentors, and we're looking for people who are really committed to being in a caring and trusting relationship. Sometimes people feel like maybe I can't be a mentor because I haven't quite achieved what I want to achieve yet. It's really not about that. It really is about an adult and a young person relationship that helps to provide support, express care, what we're really challenging growth, and exposing them to new opportunities. I think Crystal's point was so important that kids, young people need mentors. This just isn't something just kids in high-risk communities. And we can always think back to somebody in our lives who spent that extra time, who gave us that one-on-one, who said something encouraging, or who just were there for us over a period of time. And young people living oftentimes in high-risk communities need that extra support so that they don't fall between the cracks. They don't go unnoticed, that there's that person there week after week. You know, 1 hour, 2 hours a week that really can help to highlight or spot things or just notice something just a little off and just intervene and support. And those are important moments in young people's lives.
So how do you match a mentor with a child? And how does this, in your view, how does it make a difference? Because you're not just talking the talk. You have been a mentor. And Timothy has been a mentor as well. So you've been there.
Absolutely, yeah. And so in our organization, we match kids generally by their interest. So we're focused a lot on young people thinking about their future and their careers. So we're trying to find out what they're passionate about. And so we then try to find mentors that have the same kind of passions and the same kind of careers, and then connect them. But, you know, in the space that I've mentored young people in, it was really just out of just pure need, where we connected. And I've had two mentees now for well over 10 years, but they're both adults now. And now I'm calling them to get them advice and direction from them on things. So it's been a really, incredible relationship. We've been through a lot of difficult stuff. Mm-hmm. But mentoring is really a reciprocal relationship, too. Mentors get as much out of it as they give.
But that's certainly the one-on-one piece. But for the community as a whole, Timothy, how do you see this impacting and changing community?
Sure. Well, I think that, community in general, there's a long tradition of really reaching back and helping young people really order their pathway and their steps. I think sometimes when we think about, being a mentor, do I have the time? It seems very complicated. It seems very complex. But if you look back on your personal life, I'm sure there was a teacher. They could have been a coach or some sort of athletic director, someone who you were able to get advice from, someone who would be able to kind of pull you up when they saw you going the wrong way and give you some advice. And that's helped you. I mean, to this day, I have mentors. I have many different mentors. And there's still career decisions I don't make unless I talk to my mentor to bounce around ideas. So it's something that's critically important to our young people. But it's something that's important to everybody. And it's really, I see this as our responsibility as a community to really reach back and make sure that we give back and continue to give.
Give me an example for communities that do not have the support of mentors. What happens in those communities when you're talking about girls and boys who do not have the impactful guidance of mentors?
Sure. So sometimes if you don't have that positive, caring adult relationship to lean on, you sometimes find that guidance from other sources that may not necessarily be as wholesome for you.
You're talking about criminal elements.
It could be criminal elements, gang. It could be just the element around your neighborhood that will not steer you in the right direction. So we want to combat that by making sure that we have plenty of people who are properly vetted and properly motivated to give you the right kinds of advice. Something you may not know, in this area alone, there's about 70% of our mentoring organizations do not have enough mentors to actually serve our young people. About 2 or 3 years ago, we did a report together with Deloitte called The State of Mentoring, and they had some really key sort of outcomes out of that. That was one. The other is that half of the mentoring organizations, the mentoring programs aren't as long as they need to be because the volunteers don't have the commitment. They don't make the commitments that's necessary to really turn those results. Sort of best practices, you need someone like a Crystal who will be there 2 or more years, because a lot of these programs, the success is built on trust. Mm-hmm. And if that young person doesn't see that you're going to show up each time and they can depend on you, and they may not show you that immediately, But if they see that that adult is going to be there for them and they're not just going to disappear after a couple of weeks, after a couple of months, that's when that relationship really starts to grow roots and you see the progress made. And oftentimes, because of, I don't know if it's a transient nature of this area or what, you often don't have those long relationships that causes the program to be most beneficial.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about the power of mentoring and how it impacts communities. Let's go to the phone lines. Jada calling from D.C. Thanks for calling, Jada. What's on your mind?
Hi. Thank you for having the program. I'm a single older parent.
Uh-huh.
I have a 15-year-old daughter. I'm having behavioral concerns about her. She doesn't listen, and she's very vulnerable.
Suggestions for her?
Well, we have some great organizations represented in the room, whether it's Diane's U.S. Dream Academy, whether it's Community of Hope that Crystal volunteers with. United Way, we actually work with 27 mentoring organizations in this region, Northern Virginia, D.C., and suburban Maryland. So by going to our website, you can see exactly what the organizations are, and you can actually put in your desire to receive services and be matched up with one of these great organizations. Like,
what is your website?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, that's United Way. NCA.org/mentoring.
And for those of you listening and looking for information, we will be posting that information on our website on WHUR.com. As always, it'll be there shortly after 9 o'clock tonight. But before we let Jada go, any suggestion? Because if she is struggling right now, there's no guarantee that a crystal lightning, no matter how wonderful she is, may be received immediately by a child who is dealing with those issues. So how do you start that?
I think it takes time. When a mentor is matched with a child, especially a child with some behavioral issues or who has had some trauma or struggles in their lives, I think a lot of times what happens is that people want the behavior to change immediately. And that doesn't always happen because, you know, as Tim said, you have to build up the trust. You have to establish the relationship. And a lot of times that takes more than just the effort that the mentor puts forth. It takes time. And so it takes sitting down with that child. It takes listening to that child. It takes letting that child know that you're going to be there for them. So I wouldn't expect immediate changes when a child is matched with a mentor, but give it some time and I think it will work. I think also a good support system is important, making sure that the school understands where the parent is coming from, the issues that they're having, and to really kind of build up a community around that child in their lives so that they do have the support that they need and they can reach out when needed.
Jada, yeah. Thank you so much.
Thank you. But can I get that web? Can I get United Way? What did you say that was again?
Certainly. It's United Way, N as in Nancy, C as in Charlie, A as in Apple, .org/mentoring.
Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you so much. And go right ahead, Diane, real quick.
Just to Jada, remembering that these teenage years are difficult years, and as young people are growing and developing, sort of not listening isn't necessarily a problem, but an indication that we need to sort of uncover and try to figure out what's going on. If there's a mentoring program in your area, and really would encourage you to call United Way, or you can go to usdreamacademy.org, because there are lots of supports. And young people oftentimes need another individual outside of their family that they can talk to, that they can share, they can confide in. 15-year-olds are dealing with a lot. And so sometimes they just don't know how to express the emotions that are going on, and it gets expressed as not listening and being disengaged. So I'm glad that you're tuned into it, and getting her connected to a program in your area will probably hopefully really help.
Jada, thank you so much for sharing with us. We appreciate it, and good luck to you. Stay with us. I'm going to take a break, but if you're on the phone, Junior calling from York, Pennsylvania, we're going to talk to you. Also, Nicole calling from Upper Marlboro, we're going to talk to you as well. We're still taking your phone calls even after 7:30. Lines are open at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're talking about mentoring, changing lives, and improving communities. Stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM, Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on 96.3 WHUR. This conversation continues on Sirius XM, Channel 141 in just a few seconds.
The Howard University Radio Network is WHUR 96.3 FM, WHUR World 96.3 HD2, student-run WHBC HD3, GlassHouseRadio.com, SiriusXM Channel 142, HBCU, and SiriusXM Channel 141, HUR Voices, Washington.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on SiriusXM, Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Tonight, we are taking a look at mentoring and programs that try to address the needs of underserved communities in the D.C. Metro. My guests are Diane Wallace Booker. She is the founding executive director of the U.S. Dream Academy. Timothy Johnson, chief strategy and impact officer with the United Way of the National Capital Area. And Crystal Lightning, she is a mentor and Mentor of the Year awardee for the United Way of the National Capital Area. I want to go back to the phone lines, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Nicole, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
So I really think that mentoring is important. I currently work as a mentor. I've been one for over almost 20 years. But also, I also had a mentor growing up. Some of the summer programs I participated in connected us with other people. Before Ursula Jones blew up, she was our mentor for our summer program. Just to have that exposure and just, like you said, having someone to talk to and ask questions. When I mentor, I really focus on, being available. But also, too, exposing children to just going to Ocean City, going to, there's so many HBCUs, because sometimes mentors are faced with, I have to spend my own money, but you have so many things in the area that are free, that are close by, that sometimes we take for granted, that everyone automatically understands the process of attending college, completing the application. We're just, even going to a campus or even just going outside and going to Frederick to the country. And actually, I was so surprised how many kids when I pulled up were like, that's a neat goat. And I'm like, that's a horse. That's not a goat. So we're really needed and really vital. And then at the end of the day, it is so rewarding. Like some of my kids that we stay in contact. Sometimes it's really sad because unfortunately, it's in certain areas, the murder rate can be high and, seeing someone that you bonded with, pass away. Yeah. But at the end of the day, I wouldn't trade it for the world.
Well, Nicole, thank you so much for sharing that with us. I appreciate it. Nicole did mention some things that I do want to get to because she kind of explained some of the really broad kind of adventures that you can have, as a mentor. But in this day and age, safety is always a concern. Mm-hmm. And we're talking about the safety of the mentee. And I think we'd be remiss if we do not, address background checks, security concerns. How do you know that the people that you're going to pair with these youngsters ultimately have their very best interest in mind and that they are not predators or even something not that severe, but just personality differences?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you never really know 100%. You can do your best. Certainly any good mentoring program is going to do a background check. We do references and interviews. We do site-based mentoring, so mentors come to the site. And so there is supervision. In any mentoring program, there is supervision, even when it's community-based. You train your staff to look for warning signs. You do lots.
Such as, what's a warning sign?
So, if we, inappropriate discussions that they may be having. So most mentoring programs tell them not to talk about certain things like, sexual activity or exposure to certain things. And if kids start to bring that up, you do lots of debriefing sessions with your mentees to try to understand what was your session like? What kinds of things did you discuss? Sometimes you just sort of see things that in your gut just don't make you feel comfortable and you just kind of keep an eye on that. Of course, background checks do help you to see stuff, but there are lots of people who have committed some pretty terrible things against kids who haven't been caught. And so you do, as a mentoring program, you have to have lots of risk management in place and just lots of really good training for your staff to know what to look for and to try to stay on top of it.
And same kind of question, Crystal, because you were a mentor to this this girl for 3.5 years. You saw her from 8 to 12 years old. As a father of a 20-year-old, I know that my daughter started talking about boys when she was in the single digits. And so, you know, how do you address those kinds of things? Because even if you don't bring them up, your mentee may.
Absolutely. I think this is where it's very important to have a good relationship with the parent. The Community of Hope mentoring program is unique sometimes in that it is a one-to-one relationship. And with the background checks that we have to go through, including fingerprints, we have a long interview. I had probably a 3-hour interview with the volunteer specialist before we even started. I then had to go through a variety of background checks. And going through those background checks, they make sure that we are matched with children who kind of they need. I guess I'm trying to see. I'm sorry. I think I'm trying to say, once we're matched, we have an interview with the child as well, and so we have to establish a relationship with the parent in order to kind of set the boundaries that we have for that child. And so I have a very good relationship with my mentee's mother, and we talk from time to time. I text her and let her know what's going on. If there's something that I think we need to work on, or something that I've noticed in her behavior that has changed, I'll have that relationship with her to make sure that, we all kind of keep an eye on what's going on. Even if it's something uncomfortable, like sexuality, sometimes she watches a lot of different movies, and sometimes they're rated R, and sometimes she may have questions about something.
Reality TV.
There's reality TV.
Yes, of course.
They're exposed to so many things nowadays, so it's important to just make sure that the relationship with the parent is very healthy, so that if there's something that I need to highlight, I can say that, and also respect her boundaries as a parent, because I don't want to overstep that as a mentor. I'm not her parent. I'm her friend.
Yeah, that was my next question, because you are there to assist, to guide, I'd say a supplement, if I may, and yet I can imagine that, you know, some parents may find difficulty with the relationship that a mentor may have with the child if the child is more willing to share with the mentor than they are with their own parents. How do you address that?
Well, that's about establishing trust, I believe. I am an adult friend. I'm also, required to point out certain things. If there's something that that's going on with my mentee that I think puts her in any type of danger, I need to report it. So there's a very fine line with establishing that trust and being able to go to the parent and say, hey, there's something that I think we need to talk about without divulging, without harming the relationship that you have with the child. So I think it's just a very fine line. I think it comes with a little bit of experience, and it also comes with the mentoring organization providing training. You know, there's a lot of training out there for mentors through these programs, these wonderful programs, and those help to actually teach me what I should, what I should report to the parent, what I should report to the case manager, and what I can keep that's appropriate with the child, between me and the child.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810, Junior, calling from York, Pennsylvania. Thanks for calling, Junior.
If you'd like to make a
call. I guess we lost Junior. Give me a call back. Timothy, one of the things that did occur to me based on what Crystal was sharing, and because this is a delicate balance.
It is.
If you are, and all three of you are or were at one point mentors, I can also say that all three of you, and I can assume Crystal, are gainfully employed. But if you are talking about communities that are underserved and that are challenged, how do you deal, Timothy, you may only have one car, but it's a Mercedes. And if you drive up to mentor a young fella whose parent or parents are struggling,
how do you prevent your success from being an issue for them as you are trying to help them in the community at large?
Sure. Well, I think you have to be both authentic with the young person as well as really help build that relationship, as Crystal and Diane talked about. So I'm not saying that you have to try to empathize if you can't empathize, but if you can, I think that it's fine to talk about sort of your path and help people to understand, you know, this is the path that I started out on. You know, myself, I'm from Bedford Stuyvesant in Brooklyn, which
Okay. Well, then you're good.
You know. Right. But, you know, I'd like to explain sort of
you
the
and Jay-Z, right?
Me and Jay-Z. And
exactly.
Right. But how I got to this point, you know, and it was a lot of hard work, but it wasn't just hard work on my, you know, I didn't pull myself up by bootstraps. I had people who supported me, people like the mentors that we're here to talk about today, and really explaining how a young person can do anything that they can imagine if, one, they put the proper work in, but also with the proper supports, because we all had help to get here. And I think that sometimes that's lost on people, you know, what's necessary to help a young person get from point A to point B. Make it very realistic, very manageable. We're not saying that, you know, someone today will jump into a, you know, executive position tomorrow, but explain, what was your path? My path was very indirect. You know, I went to school, I studied biology. I thought I was going to be a doctor at one point. My life took a different turn. I didn't let that turn derail me. So it's really the lesson in helping people to practice stick-to-itiveness. And, like, even though your life throws your curve, stay with it, because that next pathway I got on actually helped lead me to where I am now. And if I had let that first sort of a barrier derail me, who knows what my life would look like. So it's really helping that person see beyond the car. Material stuff comes and goes, but really it's really the character, the characteristics of a person, the ability to sort of stay with it, and not to think that you have to do it all on your own. Nobody does it alone. No one's self-made. There's always support, whether it comes from the community or others, and to know that that's okay.
Diane, you know, one of the things that Timothy alluded to earlier was, and we've talked about this on this program for many years, is the need for mentors. Are you ever concerned that you are unable to meet the broad need in the community?
Yeah, absolutely. So there are 1 in 3 young people in our country that are growing up without a mentor. And this stuff we're talking about, their relationships, but there's some real hard data behind this, right? We know that when kids have mentors, they're 55% more likely to attend college. They're like 130%, twice as likely to get involved in leadership and in sports. And they're much less likely, 52% less likely to skip a day of school. So there's real data behind the effectiveness of mentoring. So there's just no reason why we shouldn't have a mentor for every kid in the country. We know that it will improve their outcomes in several different areas. It's not a cure-all solution for a lot of the very complex things that go on in our communities that have been happening for generations, but it is a very good start, and it really does have a very one-to-one direct impact on young people who are really fighting for their futures. You know, they have a dream, they want to achieve that. What most often happens in a lot of communities where they have generations of poverty, they lack a lot of social capital. They don't have those relationships and those connections for colleges and jobs, and they need to begin to expand their network, and mentoring can help do that too. So there is, you know, this piece we talk about with share power, right, and how we can begin to infuse more equity into mentoring, and how we can begin to train our mentors to really understand that you're here for this relationship, but you're also here to really help these young people begin to build social capital that oftentimes can be missing in communities that are under-resourced.
What is relational mentoring? Because I've heard some root word during this conversation. What is that?
And so it really focuses on the kinds of relationships that adults can have with young people. And so we use what's called the developmental relationships model. It's really developed by the Search Institute. And it's a specific model where we teach adults how to have these kinds of relationships with young people that drive achievement, that build perseverance, that help young people to develop the stick-to-itiveness. And so it is, while it might seem sort of contrived, it is just really helping adults to understand the sort of these 5 steps, express care, provide support, challenge growth, expand opportunity, and share power. And what does that look like in these relationships? And it helps particularly adults who come in who haven't had a productive relationship with young people, maybe in a while. Maybe, you know, I raised my kids and I'm older now and I kind of need a refresher. So it really does give a consistent way of approaching relationships that the data shows us and our practice, we see it all the time, shows us that these kinds of relational mentoring really help young people do better in school, feel more connected to their community, even develop better and more productive relationships with their peers and in their homes.
Thank you for that. I'm going to take another break. When we come back, I want to talk about the commitment that Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We continue our conversation about mentoring, how it changes lives and communities. Crystal, talk to me about the commitment. I mean, on the surface, 3.5 years with one person, that's commitment with a capital C. But let's drill down a little bit more. How often did you spend time with her? What did you do? And you're married, right?
I'm getting married.
You're getting married. Congratulations. So how do you balance the mentoring with the getting married piece, too? Because that's obviously an important part of your life as well.
Absolutely. So what's going on right now with this particular, I have this current mentee, and what we do is we have a requirement of 6 hours a month. That's what Community of Hope asks us to do. So 6 hours a month is really not that often, and not that much time. So what I'm able to do is I'm able to see her pretty much every other week, and then we communicate as we can throughout the week and to plan our next outing and things like that. Our outings typically last about 4 to 6 hours as I go. She's a young kid, so I go and pick her up, and then I, you know, take her to whatever we're doing. And I find a bunch of events that I think cater to her interests. For instance, she is really big into anime right now. She draws it. She loves it. And so what we do is we try to fuse a little bit of technology, and we go to the Apple store, and we take some of the free classes that they have on drawing on the iPads and things like that. We've been ice skating. Community of Hope does a quarterly group mentor group where we got to go and see Luzia with Cirque du Soleil. So we've experienced so many different things that I think she may not have gotten to experience just in her regular day-to-day life just because of the opportunities that Community of Hope has given us. So every other weekend, a couple hours, we talk during the week, we talk about school, we talk about things that she wants to do, we talk about her interests. I try to find things that grow, you know, that grow those interests and also help her with any issues that she may be having at home or at school or anything like that. How do I balance it? I have a great fiance who really, really, you know.
Of course you would say that.
Of course I say that.
Right answer. But, absolutely. He is so good.
I live by my planner, and he knows when I'm going. I'm saying, this Saturday, I'm picking up my mentee. We're going to be gone all day, and I'm going to do this. And he's like, great, have fun. I'm going to the gym. Mm-hmm. So it's really not that much of a balance, that much of a balance or that much of a challenge right now. I do have a regular job like anybody else. I work, you know, sometimes over 40 hours a week. And then I also have a social life as well. But to me, it's very important that I'm able to carve out time in my schedule for this particular child and any child or anybody that I'm mentoring. I think establishing a relationship and just being there for them and having availability goes a long way.
You may find this question hard to answer without doing a whole lot of patting yourself on the back, but your award does that for you. So I'll ask you, how do you think your presence in her life has changed her? And where would she be without your influence?
That is a very hard question. Well, first we'll start with, how do I feel about the influence that I have on her? I have seen marked behavior changes in her. She is more positive. She believes in herself. She is more confident. And I think that was one of the goals that we originally set. We have a goal setting kind of session every year, which is the length of the commitment that we, you know, Community of Hope asks us to have. And in that goal setting, we talk about anything that she wants to do, anything that she wishes she was better at. And we have a really honest conversation. And I don't know if you've had an honest conversation with an 8-year-old, but sometimes it just kind of goes all over the place. But we're able to focus those into manageable goals. And so, you know, she wanted to learn to draw better. She wanted to learn to make new friends. She wanted to do better in math or learn how to convert decimals to fractions, which I don't even know how to do. Yeah. I don't even know how to do that, so I just had to kind of encourage her on that one. But, you know, we set those goals, and then everything we did works towards that. So for me, I think without those goals, and without seeing her own growth from the things that we've done, I think that she would be maybe less confident.
Mm-hmm. What kind of conversations have you had, Timothy, about committing to mentoring? Because we are talking about kids.
Sure.
And if you can break down those barriers and they become attached, and their parents become attached, and then life happens, and you have to pull back, or you're unable to commit as much as you hoped you could. That can be difficult for children to take.
It can be, and we always try to minimize disruptions like that as much as possible, but life happens. You know, you may get a new job where you may have to move away and discontinue that relationship. So when those things do happen, we try to immediately sort of have the conversation with the young person, so the young person realizes it's not something that they've done that's stopping that. Because oftentimes it could take, to Crystal's point, months before that young person opens up to you. So to have someone sort of stop during that relationship could be disruptive. So, but you have to be honest. You have to be upfront, really be, you know, over communicate both with the child and their parent. And we often find that helps. To your point about commitment, we find that, and this is me getting on my soapbox a little bit, folks sometimes want to be a mentor and commit, but they also wanted to be convenient. So it's like, it's great if I want a mentor, but, you know, can we make it between this hour and maybe near my office? That's often not the children who most need you. You know, in this area, in the DC area, we have a mentoring desert. Areas which wouldn't surprise you that maybe east of the river, there's a lot of communities where we need to have mentors, but because it's not necessarily the most convenient to public transportation, that it may require you to travel a little bit. That's where our young people are often sort of on that waiting list for mentors who haven't shown up yet. So I just really want to encourage people, if you want to make the absolute impact, you need to sort of go to where the need is and not necessarily always have it be convenient to you. We know convenience is nice, but if you're really in it for this work, if you're in it for the right reasons, you're in it to really help these young people. That means you have to move outside your own comfort zone a little bit.
Diane, one of your girlfriends comes to you and says, you know, I know what you're doing, and I really admire it. And finally, they say, I want to be a mentor. What do you tell her?
I say, great. Come on, mentor with us. The commitment, we do ask for a year commitment because it is important for all the reasons that Crystal and Timothy just described. The impact in your own life is also something that mentors often just are surprised by.
What do you mean by that?
So that mentors come in thinking that they're doing something for someone else and walk away realizing that they have grown and developed, that they get to really engage with this young person. Some of our mentors are college students. They've changed their majors, decided that they really wanted to go in being a teacher. We have a young man who was actually in the military, and he was going to medical school, and he was really just becoming a mentor to put something on his resume so he could get into medical school. And he wrote to us and talked about the fact that he went there really selfishly, but then met this young man and had this incredible relationship and realized how much they grew together. And so he's in the military, so he gets transferred around. So we connect them now through Skype. So we're trying to use technology to alleviate some of the things that before, when people moved, you know, we try to write because we've been around for a long time. You try to write by letters. But now by Skype, we still can have people connect because we use a lot of college students, and they tend to move because they, you know, they finish. But technology has helped us connect. But anybody who is interested in mentoring in the D.C. or Baltimore area, you can go to usdreamacademy.org. There is a screening process, which you would hope and expect that any organization would have. But there's lots of training and support. And not only are you going to have an opportunity to impact the kids' lives and also the community, whenever you impact one person's life in a community, you're, you know, building up a community, but you are, I promise you, you are going to have an incredible experience yourself, your own growth and learning and development. And some programs, ours included, we would try to be flexible about times. We also, sometimes people have to bring their own kids and maybe, you know, do it together. In the case where you're talking about your husband, sometimes we try to get both of them. Come and both mentor at the same time. We'll match it with different kids so that if we can bring our families along and get a whole family engaged in volunteering, that alleviates some of your own pressure of you know, taking time away from your family. And then you get to volunteer together as a family, which is also a great experience.
I've got about 2 minutes left. Crystal, what's your best advice for someone who is interested in becoming a mentor?
I would say keep an open mind, keep an open heart, and just realize that whoever you're mentoring, especially young people, that they're looking to you to be a friend. So you can't judge them. You know, you can't, you can be disappointed when they don't do something correctly, but you don't want to be angry with them. You just want to love them through it. So I would say that's the best advice that I could give.
I think that's a great place to end this conversation. But as I mentioned earlier in the program, we will be posting the website information on WHUR.com. It should be there after 9 o'clock, as well as the podcast. I encourage you, if you haven't heard all of this conversation, to go back and listen to it, because it really does give you some, dare I say, insight into this process, and it certainly is a worthy cause of having a positive influence on a young person and changing their lives is certainly a wonderful thing to do. So I want to thank all of you, Diane Wallace Booker, Timothy Johnson, and Crystal Lightning. Thank you so much for talking to us. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
That is The Daily Drum on Sirius XM, Channel 141, for this Monday, January 28th, 2019. I'm Harold Fisher. You can tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Now, stay tuned for The Connection. Good night.